Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call and talk show. I'm Ray Graff. We talk photography today. In the old days, you might have had a plate and waited a long time for your film, your plate to develop. Then they went to film. Now most people do it digitally. But regardless of what you use, taking a good photo, it's not always easy. There are a few tricks. Charlie Samuels has mastered all of the tricks. He's been a photographer for over 25 years, well over a million photos snapped. He has photographed everyone from the Obama family at the White House to the United Nations General Assembly. He served as a personal photographer to the FIFA president for a time, and his work has appeared in the New York Times, where he's been a stringer, New York Magazine, and many other prestigious publications. He's also taught photography at Skidmore College. He is here to answer your questions about everything from taking a portrait to nature photography. Charlie Samuels, welcome to Vox Pop.
Thank you very much. It's good to be here.
The number to call is 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. You can also email us if you wish, voxpop@wamc.org, or you can go to our website, wamc.org/voxpop. There's a spot to comment there. Or you could tweet us at WAMC Radio. Just use the hashtag VoxPop. Or go to Facebook. Sure, facebook.com/WAMC Radio. There's a Vox Pop post there. But the important thing to remember on a call-in show is the number, 1-800-348-2551. All right, with that, we've dispensed with that. Charlie Samuels, you told me you took well over a million photographs. Did you count them?
No, but when new cameras have come out, they have actuation counts. You know, the Nikon D3 and D4 and
yeah,
all the late digital cameras. And I thought to myself, well, I've worn out three cameras in 4 years. Let me count that up and then add to it how much film I've shot before that. And I was surprised to see it was over a million photographs.
Okay, so now you don't use film anymore?
No.
You're completely gone?
I haven't shot film except for a handful of times since 2002.
So everything you can do, you could do with film, you can now do with a good digital camera?
Yeah, yeah. It's not a big difference, actually. There's a lot of advantages, you know, a lot of advantages, but it's really pretty much the same actions of how to take a picture.
And you can still adjust the exposure time and everything else, like the old f-stops and
Absolutely. It's all manual, everything. The biggest difference, I think, besides being able to see the photograph right away, which doesn't help you as much as most people think, because you don't have the time to look at that, really, is the exposure latitude. And
what is the exposure latitude
is the detail in the shadows and extreme shadows and extreme highlights. So that has widened quite a bit. Back in the old days, we shot slide film all the time.
Yeah.
And the exposure latitude was about 1.5 stops. Now it's pushing 12, 13 stops. So that's more than the human eye can really see at one time in an instant. So that has really freed up our lighting. It's freed up our exposure, but everything else pretty much remains the same.
But the cost is certainly less now.
Less for film and processing.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean,
not the cameras, though.
I alluded to it as I was doing the opening billboard. Back in the old days, if you had a Kodak Instamatic or you had a Polaroid, film was not always cheap. But now everybody you know has at least one camera. Some of them are better than others, but on an iPhone, for instance, not a bad way to take a photograph. Unfortunately, people like me, we're not very good at it. That's the real trick. So how do you frame? What's the number one thing most people who are not experts do wrong when they're framing a shot?
They don't look at paintings.
What do you mean?
Paintings, old, wonderful paintings.
Look, my family does not, you know, my wife is extremely beautiful, but, you know, we're not talking Mona Lisa.
I know, but framing and composition is a matter of, looking at pleasing compositions first. Maybe you can figure them out yourself, too. But looking at what the masters did in Amsterdam and then applying the balance of how people composed frames to your photographs.
So when you've done a lot of extreme sports, when you photograph somebody on a snowboard or something, you're thinking, oh gosh, how did Rembrandt do it? Come on.
No, not really. Most of the time I'm just trying to catch the action there. But Then after I catch the action on the first couple frames, I start arranging the composition and how that's going to fit in a double page spread in a magazine. And then I think, well, I want it to be pleasing and I want it to attract people's eyes. And then I go beyond that. If I can, I try to do something different.
In doing sports, and I know from looking at what you have done, and you've done so much in this field, mm-hmm. you've done a lot of sports, a lot of extreme sports. How did you end up there?
Well,
it would seem a tough chore.
How did I end up in the specializing in sports? Well, I'm a skateboarder, and I was a skateboarder when I was trying to be a photographer. I assisted about over 100 different photographers within 4 years when I was studying to be a photographer. I call it my doctorate. So I was looking for friends and people to put in my portfolio so I could get real jobs instead of assisting jobs. And some of my friends were skateboarders and extreme sports enthusiasts. And so I started shooting them. And then photo editors realized this is really difficult to shoot, lighting-wise, action-wise, shutter speed, everything. Maybe he can shoot some other stuff. And so I started doing all kinds of portraits and photo essays and things like that.
Do you still like sports best?
No, I like them equal. I like sports equal to portraiture.
Okay. Let's go to the phones. 1-800-348-2551. Charlie Samuels is our guest. Keith in Saratoga Springs. Keith, you're first.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
So, Mr. Samuels, my question is has to do with the changing market for professional photography. As we know, a lot of print journalism has ceased to exist, especially newspapers, and has moved to the internet. Added to that, you have a lot of free, albeit low-quality imagery available all over the internet now that, you know, quite respected publications sometimes use. What have these dynamics done to the market for professional photojournalists like yourself?
Well, first of all, when the mass populace has access to all this incredible technology, it is going to increase the competitiveness of photography. Mm. There's no doubt about it. It's going to increase the likelihood that creative photographers are going to enter the field. So certainly it has increased competition, but no more than I would say than in the 90s. It's always increased competition because photography is just such an incredibly demanding and interesting field to most people. So the stakes are just rising, and it's, I think, on a whole, encouraging photography itself to be more creative, and we live in a very visual society, so it's helping the communication completely.
If I can follow up, but what about the changed market? Is there more or less of a market than there was before the internet became so prominent for magazines and newspapers relative to print?
Well, I think amateurs definitely have more access to post their photos, and then newspapers can see them and possibly use them. So amateurs have a faster and easier pipeline to be able to sell their photos, that's for sure. It used to be just photographers. So that's changed slightly.
Okay. Keith, thanks a lot for the call. Number to call is 1-800-348-2551. We're joined today by Charlie Samuels. We talk photography. This one came in before the show. This is from Jeanette, and she asked several questions, but I'll ask you this one. It's a good one. What is your favorite photo that you've ever taken and then that someone else has taken?
I guess my favorite photo is the one that got away in the film processing.
What do you mean?
It ripped my heart out. I was photographing a swimmer in the middle of the Hudson with the World Trade Center in the background.
Yeah.
And I knew I had the shot, but the processor just threw it away.
What do you mean threw it away?
They thought that because there was a staple in it that I wouldn't like it because they were processing it and using staples and everything.
Yeah.
And I just couldn't believe it.
It was a digital photograph?
No, it was a film photograph.
Film photograph.
So that's the first thing that comes to mind.
Okay. And what about a favorite photograph from somebody else?
I don't have a favorite photograph of somebody from somebody else, but I have a favorite photographer that I admire very much, Karen Kuhn, who lives out west. She's a portrait photographer, and I think she makes people relax easier than anybody else and does amazing work.
So when you take a portrait photograph, there is an element of psychology involved in getting a good one?
I should have gone to school for psychology.
Really?
Not art.
You're kidding me.
I'm not kidding you.
But I mean, in sports, there's nothing to that, right?
Oh, no, there's something to that. You're dealing with a person, you know, and you want to make them relax
but
and trust you.
The person who's doing the sporting event is not aware of that you're taking a picture.
Oh, but sporting events is different than what I specialized in.
Okay.
Sports action is what I did. So I was one-on-one with the athletes.
Gotcha. Let's take a break here. We're joined today by Charlie Samuels. We talk photography. 1-800-348-2551. We'll be back.
Support for WAMC comes from the Ashokan Center and the Woodstock School of Art, presenting Swing and Shine, a dinner and dance with Jay and Molly, Swingology, and special guests, Saturday, May 16th at 6 p.m., ashokancenter.org. Sunflower Natural Foods Market, Woodstock and Rhinebeck, an organic natural grocery since 1978 with handcrafted, locally made gifts, perfumes, lotions, and more for Mother's Day, Sunday, on Facebook and sunflowernatural.com. Red Bud Development, collaborating with residential clients to design and build functional outdoor spaces that reflect their lifestyle, redbuddevelopment.com. Fulton County Tourism, in the Southern Adirondack Park, fishing on their 44 lakes, camping, hiking, biking, boating, and events, 44 lakes, 44 choices, 44lakes.com. College Street Motors, Amherst, Massachusetts, specializing in foreign and domestic car and truck repair services and 24-hour towing and recovery service for over 30 years, collegestreetmotors.com. And Mabee Farm Historic Site, Rotterdam Junction, New York, presenting the talk, science fiction, Hollywood, and the 1950s, part of the It Came From Schenectady Science Fiction exhibit this Saturday at 2 p.m., schenectadyhistorical.org.
Welcome back to Vox Pop on WAMC. It's a call-in show, you know, 1-800-348-2551. We're joined by a photographer par excellence. Charlie Samuels is here, and we talk photographs and photography. And you sort of have a basic hierarchy of things you need to take a good photograph.
Right. I think a lot of people get bogged down with technicalities and then what camera they should buy and all this stuff. Although that's important. The most important thing, in order of importance, is concept. Concept is king. What do you want to photograph? What is your concept? Then it's light. I've seen good pictures with bad light, but light is very important.
Yeah.
It's one of the most important things. Also, the glass. That's number three.
The lens?
The lens itself. People don't put a lot of importance on the lens. They keep talking about the camera, but the lenses are the ones that aren't going to lose value. They're the ones you can invest in.
Right.
Those cameras are going to, they're like a used car. They lose value in a year. They go down 50%. But the lenses, especially with Nikon, which is what I use, I have no.
No, you're right. I'm just saying that
they have kept, you can use 40-year-old Nikon lenses on most new Nikon cameras.
So, in other words, even the old lenses that were strictly for film back in the day can be attached nicely to a digital camera.
Absolutely. And that's a different look.
Yeah.
Every lens has its own look. So if you're looking for creativity, go get some old lenses, $100, $150 lenses on eBay,
yeah,
and they'll always hold their value.
Well, interesting. Hey, do you think that now that everybody takes pictures, there is a general sort of lack of creativity in the way people perceive shots, and they don't really stop to think about, gosh, I can make an interesting shot here?
No, I think it's the opposite.
Really? You think creativity has bloomed?
The more you shoot, the more you want to make that shot special. So if you shoot, you know, the best way to learn photography is to just keep shooting.
Yeah.
And the best way to get a great shot is to shoot many frames. So the more people shoot, the more they realize, oh man, if I can make this better, I can attract a lot of people on Facebook.
I got to assume that some of the great shots that we have seen are, to some extent, dumb luck. You just fell into this perfect situation. I'm not saying there isn't skill involved, but there you are, perfect time. You snap the shutter at the perfect time. There's an element of luck.
I don't really believe in luck.
Ah, you're wrong. You're wrong, Samuel. Start playing ball. Here's one from email. This is from Nick. Have we lost something by moving from film to digital?
Well, if you shoot film and you want to show it somewhere, 99.44% of where you're showing it is on digital means. So you have to digitize the film.
Right.
So where are we going with this? Like, what, you know, if you're gonna be a fine art photographer, maybe there's a little difference there. If you want to psychologically get people jazzed because you've got to look down through camera and do a portrait that way, that could help your photographs. But it's not about the, you know, the film or the digital. It's about what you do with
it. But technically speaking, as long as you have a good lens, and even megapixels aren't that important, as long as you have 12, right? You use 12 and a half?
The amount of megapixels is overrated. First of all, if you want to get twice the amount of megapixel, twice the amount of clarity or resolution is a better word for it, you need to quadruple your megapixels. Mm. So in other words, if you have a 10 megapixel camera and you want twice as much clarity, you need a 40 megapixel camera. Mm. So it's not something to really pay attention to. You really should pay attention to exposure latitude, color, noise. Those kind of things are a lot more important.
All right, here's one from, and then we'll get back to the phones. Hang in there on the phones at 1-800-348-2551. Here's another one that came in via email. This is from Mark. How do you feel about the younger generation using phone apps such as Instagram to quickly edit photos and make them appear professional to easily share with the world? Do you think it's helped or hurt the art of photography now that everyone has a high-quality camera built into their phone? That's basically the question I asked early on.
Yeah, well, I think it's wonderful that everybody has cameras. You know, it's just the ubiquity of cameras has made photography more of a language and more of a common language. And we're a increasingly visual society. We communicate in visual. So I think it's... I don't see any problem with it.
Okay. All right. You know, I have a nice camera.
Oh, yeah. What do you got?
Yeah, I don't. It's on an iPhone. But I got to tell you, I'm a lousy photographer. Absolutely. You're in no danger. John in Albany. John, you're on.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Good.
Basically, what I'm curious about is if you've ever tried to take pictures of, you know, maybe ghosts or something along those lines or accidentally caught. I don't want to make the show go to that level so early on, but have you ever seen anything like that? Like, you know, like the orbs that everyone's talking about personally? You know, with the millions of pictures that you've taken?
No, I haven't.
No, not really? Okay.
Yeah. Have you?
No, I have not either. I was just curious, you know, with the experience that you've had, if that sort of thing has ever arisen.
Well, if I were you, I'd keep shooting, man. If you think you can get one, you're make $1 million.
Every time I've seen one of those orb pictures, it looks just like a lens flare.
Yeah,
exactly.
You know, so... I don't know, man. If you come up with something, email it over to us, voxpop@wamc.org.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys.
Sure, and I love lens flares.
All right, let's go to Paul in New Paltz. Paul, you're on.
Hi. I have a question on cameras.
All right.
Wondering what kind of lenses should a person get, interchangeable lenses for an SLR digital camera? What would you suggest, like a range of lenses? How many, which size?
I've actually thought about this question. Are you a beginner? Or are you beginning to?
No. Intermediate. I've had an SLR before, you know, with a 75 to 150 lens, but it's been years because I've gone over to the, I guess like most of the public now, to the pocket, you know, iPhone kind of camera. But I like to get something really good that I could use for nature photography and... the grandchild, and that kind of thing.
Sure. Well, I would really recommend prime lenses, which are non-zoom lenses.
Why?
They're brighter. They're sharper, slightly sharper. I think I could suggest a 24 millimeter, a 50 millimeter, and a 105. And I think between those three, you can cover just about everything photography has to throw at you. And they're much cheaper. They don't break as easy as zooms, and zooms are, you know, I just don't recommend them.
Do you use them?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm a professional.
All right. Now he's holding the professional card again. Paul, thanks a lot. Number to call is 1-800-348-2551. Steve in Schenectady. Steve, you're on.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Hi, Steve.
Mr. Samuels, I was curious. This is kind of a follow-up on the first caller and in terms of the market. What's the best way to market yourself as a photographer in today's day and age? Is a website enough? And as a related question to that, how do you reach people that are handing out assignments?
Good question. I like these. Well, the short answer is any way you can. But the best answer is the website. Your website is your most important thing. It's more important than your camera and your phone or your, you know. So a website is what you should put your priorities in. Nobody's really going to hire you or even call you or even think about you, pretty much, any photo editor at a magazine, unless they look at your website first. And it's a really competitive field with a lot of creative people. So when I say market yourself any which way you can, the best way to market yourself would be in a creative way. I've heard of this one photographer, Steve Steigman, who would send pigeons,
what?
You know, to art directors on their windows trying to get a job. So, you know, that was pretty outrageous. But
did it,
you know,
work?
Yeah, I heard it did work. Yeah.
Right.
But, you know, cold calls are good. Postcards, email, posters. If you want, I think the best way is to look up a friend of mine, Brad Smith, is the deputy photo editor at Sports Illustrated. He does these videos on how to approach a magazine and try to get an assignment.
Oh, great.
And how does social media fit into all that? Because it seems like social media is kind of passé already.
I would say that if you have 1,000 followers on Twitter or more, that's going to be an aspect that a photo editor would look at before they hire you, because they want to get their word out there and they want to get their story out there. So, you know, those kind of things can really help.
Okay. Steve, thanks a lot for the call. 1-800-348-2551 is the telephone number. Of course, with the internet, you also have to worry about your work being heisted very easily.
Yes, but it's all 72 DPI.
So everything you see on a computer screen is low res.
Well, I wouldn't say low res, but 70. You can't talk about clarity without talking DPI plus the size.
And
of
DPI
what the photograph
is dots per inch.
So 72 dots per inch. So if you put up a photo that's 4 inches by 5 inches dots per inch, you can't use that in a 4 inches by 5 inches by 72 dots per inch. You can't use that in a magazine.
But I'm not worried about a magazine used elsewhere for perhaps commercial purposes on the internet.
There's a certain amount of theft in every business.
Okay.
And you got to ride that fine line of promoting yourself and putting your photos out there for the possibility of other people swiping them.
Okay, let's go to Rob on the Skidmore campus. Rob, you're on.
Hi, Charlie.
Yes.
Great show, by the way, guys. This is, I mean, fascinating. And I'm not a very experienced photographer, but all of the details that you're going into, they're really making sense to me as you guys go back and forth. So, I mean, it's very, very effective tutelage here. But my question is, if you had to isolate or if you had to pick one element for portraiture, for portrait photos, that just takes it, that just brings it to life, if you had to choose one thing that would make those portraits just jump off of the canvas, what would it be?
Trust.
What do you mean?
Oh, wow.
Trust between the subject and yourself. You both have to trust each other, and sometimes that has to happen within 5 minutes or maybe less. So you, like we talked about before, it's about psychology. I love people, you know, so I love portraiture. So if that comes across to the subject that I'm photographing, that is going to just help the portrait immensely. And they're going to feel comfortable. I'm going to feel comfortable. The main idea is to make it the opposite of going to a dentist. So many people hate to have their photographs taken. You want to make them comfortable.
Are you ever able to? Thank you for the call, Rob. Are you ever able to take a good picture of a subject who hates you? I mean, have you had? Well, not hate, but perhaps somebody you can clearly not get along too well with. Can you still get the job done as a professional?
Let me put it this way. I would love to take up that challenge.
Well, everybody likes you. All right.
No, well, I didn't say that.
If you hate Charlie, give us a call. No, really. So, but in other words, there's got to be a certain level of professionalism where you go in and say, well, this person is not my cup of tea. We can make this work, though.
Sure. I mean, certainly, if you're given an assignment by a photo editor and they say, hey, can you photograph this politician, and you don't believe in their policies, you have to decide whether you're going to take that assignment, because the main idea is for the photographer to make them look good and promote them, pretty much promote your subject. So if I go in,
well, that's different than
that is
photojournalism, where you're snapping things as they are, right?
Sure, but in, say, for example, the New York Times or something like that, they sometimes hire me to shoot portraits.
Yeah,
and those portraits are not journalistic, mostly. They're looking at the camera, or it's obvious in the photograph that they're aware that the photographer is there.
Okay, let's go back to the phones. Mackenzie in Colony. Mackenzie, you're on. Mackenzie, are you there?
Hi, it is Mackenzie.
Hi, you're there. You're on.
Hi, Mackenzie.
Hi. Question I have, I'm not a pixel peeper at all, but I heard what you said about lenses, and I completely agree with you. But there's a fact about stats on a camera that I have a question about, pertaining to the Bayer pattern, debayering.
The which pattern? The Moiré pattern?
The debayering of a mosaic pattern. Because you have a single sensor in the camera.
Right. Right. No, I know.
And
all right, you lost me. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Okay. You have red, green, and blue.
Uh-huh.
And each pixel can only represent one color at a time.
Yep.
So when you take a raw image, you're going to have a
pattern.
Right.
Yes, I know about those. Yep.
Right. And I've been trying to find this, and I just cannot find it. A simple explanation about the demosaicing, and so you can turn it into a viewable image, and how that affects net resolution. Because you're going to have all of your luminance values, your brightness, but you're not having a full sampling of red, green, and blue, because each pixel can only represent one color at a time.
Right. Well, the more resolution your camera has, the less chance of this happening. But right now, that is kind of a big talk about digital cameras. And the Canon 5DR, which is about to come out, has an anti-aliasing filter that gets rid of Moiré patterns, if that's what you're talking about. And they can be really annoying. There's no doubt about it. They just don't look real.
Yeah. Well, isn't that an inherent drawback of digital photography?
No. I don't ever encounter it.
All right, Mackenzie, thanks a lot for a question that made my head spin. Really, it was so technical. It's like almost like doing the Bob Berman show about astronomy.
I know.
2 minutes in, I'm ready to take a nap. Let's go to Rich in Catskill. Rich, you're on.
Hey, Rich.
Hi. I have a Nokia Lumia 1520 that has a very nice camera. But I have a whole lot more settings that I don't know what they do. Can you explain the rule of thirds and the golden ratio and how they would be used?
Well, it seems like you're talking about composition in your last part of your question, the rule of thirds.
Okay.
Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, I don't know what they mean, and I don't know how to use them.
Oh, it's just that if you divide the frame of your camera in thirds, like three strips going along a horizontal frame, it is pleasing to the eye to have something going on in each of those thirds. That is like a quote creative rule, and all creative rules are meant to be broken. So I wouldn't pay much attention to it. But if you look at photographs, you'll see a bit of a pattern there, and then there's a bunch of thirds in compositions. But
and,
I don't. As far as that,
golden ratio differ from that.
The golden ratio.
The golden ratio. I don't know
what's the golden ratio.
I'm sorry, I'm not familiar with the golden ratio.
Oh. Okay, but maybe it's unique to my camera.
Okay, and that's the Lumia.
Nokia Lumia 1520. It's a smartphone.
Yep, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, well, thanks a lot.
Sorry about that.
All right, thank you.
All right, so we got moray patterns and golden ratios. Check, please. All right, I tell you what, we're going to take a break here. 1-800-348-2551. Oh, the things you learn in photography shows up. Charlie Samuels will be back. We'll hit the home stretch coming up.
Support for WMC comes from Noble Home, Shelburne Falls, Massachusetts. Custom-designed panelized house kits featuring eco-friendly passive and solar design elements, noble-home.net. Rhinebeck Artist Shops, professional picture framing and fine art materials, Rhinebeck, New Paltz, and now at 793 Broadway in Kingston, rhinebeckart.com. Ashfield Stone, Shelburne Falls, Massachusetts. Quarry and fabrication used for enduring landscapes and interiors, including countertops and floor planking. Rare and wonderful native stone of the Berkshires, ashfieldstone.com. And NBT Bank, offering trust and fiduciary services, investment management, and retirement planning for individuals and businesses, nbtbank.com. And Manny's TV and Appliances, family-owned since 1977, now offering olive oil from his vineyards in Crete, available at Atkins, River Valley Market, Randall's, Foster's, and Big Y grocery stores, mannysoliveoil.com.
You know, the golden ratio is actually four parts gin, just a splash of dry vermouth, and a dot of sweet vermouth. Then you put the olive in.
That sounds tasty.
That's the golden ratio, man. Yeah. Charlie Samuels is our guest today. We talk photography on Vox Pop. 1-800-348-2551. Before we get back to the phones, something that everyone who has ever purchased, gone into a big box store or a specialty store and tried to purchase a camera, there are a lot of options. What is the simple way to pick one?
Well, I get a lot of calls from strangers, is one reason I did this show, and from clients and from friends. And the basic pattern is, my suggestion to them normally is, if you're not going to be a professional, I think you should buy whatever was the very best thing 2 or 3 years ago. If you buy, you know, it's another thing if you have, you know, unlimited funds. But even then, if you buy a camera that just comes out, Adobe might not have their software ready yet. I've experienced that before, and it's so annoying.
So wait a minute.
So Adobe is Photoshop.
Right. No, I understand.
Okay. So, you know, they need time to work on their software. The digital, this field is moving so quickly, and so many people are buying cameras right now that Adobe can't catch up.
Well,
sometimes.
Wait, no, wait. Now, when you take a photo, you only have a certain number of output options, right? I mean,
right.
Most photo editor programs, most software will handle the JPEGs, the PNGs,
sure.
whatever you're doing.
Photo editing, but there's specialized raw camera files.
Oh, I see.
That Photoshop needs to be able to handle, and your tools are broken without that.
Hmm.
So. That's my suggestion, and then you're not losing much value in your purchase. And also, be really, you know, I would encourage you to buy great glass, because that doesn't lose its value the way a used car does.
Okay, so you need at least one good lens, and probably more than one.
Right.
All right, let's go back to the phones. John and Kanan. John, you're on.
Thank you a lot. I have two questions that are really focused on the days of film before digital.
Mm-hmm.
The first has to do with cameras, and the second has to do with film. Taking cameras first, general question, I have a bunch of old cameras, some of them quite good old cameras, German and other makes, dating back 30, 40 years.
Nice.
Is there which sit in a suitcase, basically, because they're not used anymore. My feeling is I really ought to get rid of them. And the question is, what's the best market for them?
eBay. It's a seller's market. Sometimes I've put cameras on there that sell, you know, used cameras on there that sell for about $10 less, and they're like hundreds of dollars, than the new ones.
Hmm.
It's amazing what people will buy on eBay. It's a seller's market. I would definitely do that.
All right, John, thanks a lot for the call. Here's one from email. Scott wants to know, Let's see here. I have a Canon FTB SLR. What has held me back from buying a modern digital SLR is the cost of lenses. I assume my lenses for the FTP are not compatible with the modern Canon cameras. Right or wrong, will the lenses work with the new camera? I just use an unbreakable pocket camera or my phone. Thanks for your information.
I'm sorry, without looking up on the internet what it would be, yeah. I do not know.
All right, fair
I don't
enough.
Know the compatibility of that particular camera, and I use nothing. My kit is all Nikons.
Okay, let's go to David in Johnstown. David, you're on the air.
Oh, hi. I got two questions. One is, I have old negatives, black and white. Mm-hmm. Do you know anybody in the area that's got a dark room that will develop them for me, you know?
No.
I don't.
Wow, times have changed, eh?
I guess.
I mean, I haven't shot film since 2002, basically. But I know, I think there's somebody in Albany. Let me look it up here.
Okay, he's going
Bless
to.
Bless your heart.
I mean, theoretically, crazy. David, you could probably Google this yourself, but as long as Charlie's
I don't have
here.
I can't Google. I'm a
Good for you. All right, you know what? I'll drink to that. Good for you. All right, well, while he's doing that,
Sorry,
I'll ask.
I don't have it here.
Oh, you don't have it?
All right, I want to argue with you. I think film develops itself and has a softer, more romantic, you know, the old film that we used to use.
Well,
Kodachrome and so on. It has a warmer feeling.
I agree.
Oh, okay.
I do agree with that. But you still have to digitize it. And Kodachrome's not made anymore or processed, which is sad. That was what I shot almost all. That was my go-to film.
Oh, yeah.
But you can, if you're good with Photoshop, you can make your original digital files look like
You can
film.
Put a filter right on it.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
Thank you very much. Go ahead, Thanks, shoot David. Film. Shoot whatever you can, as fast as you can.
You know, my phone now has a setting. You can do rudimentary editing. And it has a setting which will allow you to get that old sort of 70s filter on it. It's pretty amazing. Yeah. Chris in Cheshire, Mass. Chris, you're on.
Hello.
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 Yeah, I want to talk about good glass called Nikon. Nikon glass, I've been shooting, you know, since I was in Vietnam. I picked up my first, you know, FTN and stuff. And I have some old AI fixed focal length. And would they fit retrospectively on D5100 now, and you know, can I have a problem with that?
I'm pretty sure they would. You may lose some digital overrides on it, like you might have to change your f-stop, you know, manually. But generally, that's one of the advantages of Nikon is that they've allowed as much as they can to.
Oh, I agree. Good glass is what counts.
Yeah, it really is.
Get you halfway there. So, you know, the AI had a interlocking pin with the, but other than, it is a DX, so the focal length is going to vary like 1.5 magnification or something like that.
Right.
But I have a bunch of, you know, I got 1.4 and, you know, and I got all fixed focal length because I agree with you on that too.
Mm. Yep. The brighter the lens, the more you can shoot with it.
And just remember, whenever you take a shot, think about the old painting masters. When you frame it, mine always come out like Kandinsky.
I'm giving you license to copy them.
All right, fair enough. Let's go to Gene in Kingston. Gene, you're on.
Hi. I've been really having trouble with the digital imagery. I did a lot of photography back in the 80s, and I'm a painter now, and I take a lot of landscape photographs and also photographs of my artwork, and also have it professionally shot. And I've just seen such a huge difference in both the image capture in the camera, but also when I go to print an image or have something reproduced in a magazine.
Uh-huh.
I'm just not seeing a sensitivity to the subtleties. Like, my canvases have a lot of tonal colors that the eye can understand. Well, that's a blue glazed over or yellow or something, but the camera just wants to pick a color and turn it into something, you know. So I've been working with a professional photographer, a couple of them, and I'm not having great luck on the results that I get. And before, when we would use a 4x5 transparency and get that scanned, I would just get much better quality, better reproductions from it. So I'm wondering if there's anything that you could suggest.
Okay, well, I take it you're shooting flat artwork, is that right?
Yes.
Okay, I have to say, that is the hardest thing to shoot in the world.
Why? It doesn't move.
It is so difficult. I got to do a video on this. It is, first of all, you have to, if you want to do it right, you have to polarize your lights so there's no reflections. Then you have to polarize your camera so the light is not polarized whatsoever.
Right. I mean, this professional photographer is doing this in the studio. And
right. Then you gotta, I mean, there's a lot of little things you have to do. And, you know, you have to have a color chart. You have to make sure, you have to look at that painting next to the screen and make sure the colors are accurate. It is such a lot of work to do this right. And I know artists are having problems with this, with digital. Right. Now, film, they had the same, I feel like they had the same problems. But, you know, once you get it down with film, you got it. But you're always changing, you know, your laptop. Your laptop should be... should be calibrated, so you know, with a $150 device.
Yeah.
You know, whatever screen you're looking at has to be calibrated. Over time, the calibration goes out of whack.
Wow.
So there's a lot of things. That's a very loaded question.
I never knew. But, Gene, thank you for asking the question.
Sure. Thank you.
Bye now. It's Vox Pop on WAMC. We're joined by photographer Charlie Samuels today. Here's one that came in via email. I hike a lot with my Nikon DX3300. I have a 75 to 300 zoom for shooting birds. How do you stop lens creep, and can a lens be fixed once the creep has started? That's from D. And I might I add, what the hell is lens creep?
That's right. That's what I don't know.
Oh, you don't know?
No. I've heard of it in video, and that's when you're shooting an interview, the lens starts to creep out of focus.
Yeah.
But in stills, I've never heard
of it. So is lens creep a depth of field issue? Like if you're shooting a bird and the depth of field becomes too narrow?
I don't think so. I think it's just a matter of what they're focusing on and what the camera thinks you want to focus on.
With an autofocus?
Yeah,
so you use manual focus all the time,
no,
right?
That's not true.
Really?
I use autofocus
all
most
right,
of the
you
time.
You know what? You're giving away all your secrets. So let's go to Ray in Great Barrington. Ray, you're on.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Ray.
I hope that I don't have too many questions.
All right. Well, I think, let's make it easy. I'll give you one.
I'll try to charge forward. Please let me go on.
All right. Well,
as long as I can.
You only get one or two, Ray, because there are a lot of people on the line. All right?
All right. Okay. I'll go to the one probably most important.
Okay, man.
Digital versus I call them glass cameras.
Okay.
Guess that's not really accurate. But trying to get greater depth of field with a higher f-stop without messing with shutter speed and ASA film and all of that, and combined with that, F22 is a pretty tight aperture on my Nikons.
Just about
what
the
about
smallest.
All of that?
Okay. So,
what's your question?
The question is the whole deal with the old Nikons that I had, trying to get as much depth of field.
Okay.
Say in close-up wildlife stuff.
Okay.
Well, especially with close-up, you
with,
want
with shutter speed and ASAs, the whole deal. How is it? What it must be different.
Okay.
Digital. And also, what is the tightest film, the aperture that you can get on digital? I guess I'm done.
Okay. Your smallest f-stop, which is the largest number on your lens, is the smallest hole, which gives the most amount of depth of field.
Okay.
Always.
Right. F22 is what I...
Right, F22. Some lenses have F32, like the 55 macro. Nikon has F32. Wow. And that's a macro lens. So if you're thinking about something really close, where your depth of field, the closer you focus on something, the more critical the depth of field is.
And are you talking about digital now or film?
It's both the same. It's all the same physics with digital and with film. It's just that digital is a little bit more sensitive than film, or a lot more sensitive.
Ray, we got to roll it along, but thank you very much for the call. Let's go over to Leanne in Athens. Leanne, you're on.
Hi, thank you. I know that you're really at the end of the show.
Well, we got time.
I am a professional photographer. Charlie, I have no credentials like you do. I work fine art. It's like macro work, mostly landscape. But has anyone today talked about the fun and the creativity and the sheer joy of photography that I have enjoyed for the past 20 years of my life? And that's really the message, sort of rhetorical and not a question for you, mm-hmm. but just to say, hey, folks, it's not just about the technicalities. Many things I do and many of the things that have been the best that I've done have been really intuitive and oftentimes accidents.
Yep.
And
thank you.
You know, I'm sheer accent. So that's all I wanted to pass on. It's fun, people, and it's joyful. And just grab the camera and just start shooting. Stop analyzing. Okay, I'll let you go. Thanks.
Leanne, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Let's go over to Hugh in Woodstock. Hello, Hugh, you're on.
Hi. I'm excited about possibility of getting a new camera. My question is this. Is there a difference in quality between a mirrorless or a SLR camera?
Not that I know of. Mirrorless cameras are really popular right now, and they're smaller, and sometimes they are better in some instances than DSLRs, and that's where things are going right now. I would encourage you to
get. Does Nikon make one?
Yeah, they do. I don't know the name of it, but Sony makes one called the A7S that is just, you know, really the hot camera right now.
Okay.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks, Hugh. We appreciate the call. Let's go over to Mona in Del Mar. Mona, you're on.
Oh, hi. I have an answer.
Oh, for what's the question?
Somebody wanted to know how to get their black and white negatives developed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
McGreevy's lab in Albany.
There you go.
Yeah, bam. McGreevy's.
All right, Mona, thank you very much. Let's go quickly to Andy in Albany. Andy, you're on.
Hey, I was listening earlier, and the gentleman talked about the golden, I forgot what he called it.
The golden ratio.
Golden ratio.
Yes.
When I was in architectural school, there was a concept called the golden rectangle. And what it is if you were to draw a square and then take a diagonal line from one corner to the other, and then take that line point and drop it down to the bottom of the square, and then bring that square out to that end of that point, it becomes a rectangle. It's called a golden rectangle. Now, what that is, it's a concept, a proportion, aesthetical proportion that works for design, where if you build and design from those ratios, it becomes aesthetically pleasing. Mm. And historians have recognized that through older architecture, like the Parthenon on the Acropolis and things like that.
Yeah, now it's coming back to me.
I like it. Well, thank you
Thanks.
Very much, Andy. We appreciate that.
You got it.
Okay. Nick in Portland, Oregon. Nick, you only have about 20 seconds.
Sure. I'm just curious about people who shoot with the iPhone. I've heard a professional photographer who has $20,000 worth of Nikon stuff, and she lost her client to a kid who comes up with a $500 iPhone and shoots all the products with an iPhone. So what about that? What's the use of all this expensive equipment?
Well, there you go, Nick. Are you really in Portland right now?
Yes, I am. I'm listening to you on the internet.
Nice, man. All right, you get the last question here. You go. You got 15 seconds to answer that loaded question, Charlie Samuels.
Well, if the client is satisfied, that's really all you need to know. And if that photographer is cheaper because they're using an iPhone instead of $20,000 worth of equipment.
Maybe the kid's a genius.
Yeah, hey.
Hey, thanks for calling, Nick. We appreciate it very much. Well, that was an interesting program.
Sure.
You know, we'll have you back sometime. When my head is cleared, it'll be a while.
Great, I forgot to mention my website and my number.
Sure, well, let's have it very quickly.
CharlieSamuels.com, and my phone number is 212-865-5044.
And we have that link on our website, wamc.org/voxpop as well. Support comes from Fleury Lumber, Route 10, East Hampton, providing advice and assistance for projects small and large. Items such as Benjamin Moore paints, hardwood flooring, Anderson windows, Trex decking, tools, lumber hardware, FleuryLumber.com. Lori Stillwell, CPA PC, providing tax and accounting services for businesses and their owners in Saratoga Springs and beyond. StillwellCPA.com. Tang Teaching Museum and Art Gallery at Skidmore College, providing exhibits, public events, and educational programs for audiences of all ages for the Capital District and beyond. Skidmore.edu/Tang. And Quality Foreign Car Care, Boston Spa, New York, sales and service of Audi, BMW, Mercedes, Volvo, Saab, Volkswagen, and Porsche, QFCC.com. Thanks again to Charlie Samuels for being here. Thanks to you for listening and for calling and for all the emails. And thanks to Zach Malloy at the controls. Your phones are answered by Colleen O'Connell, our producer, Jessica Blaustein-Marshall. I'm Ray Graff. Stay tuned now for a news update.